Welcome to the Next Brave Thing podcast. My name is Ella Hooper, and I believe that breakthrough is on the other side of bravery. This podcast features brave stories, emotional health, and creativity to inspire you to take your next brave step. Welcome to another episode of the Next Brave Thing podcast. I'm your host, Ella Hooper, and I'm going to be continuing with our guidepost. As you know, if you've been following along, we've been going through Brené Brown's 10 guideposts to living wholehearted. And I first learned about this work probably 11, 12 years ago, probably around the time when my brother actually sent me her TED Talk that went viral. I think it's one of the most downloaded TED Talks that ever went out there on vulnerability. And I think I remember watching it and I'm like, wow, she's giving language to our internal landscape. And it kind of like helped humanize and make me not feel so different or other, or yeah, feel like I was the only one experiencing certain emotions. So I have always loved listening to any of her podcasts. Her most current podcast is all about leadership. She put a book out. I think it's called Grounded. And I haven't read it yet, but I definitely love the concept. And I've read Dare to Lead. And I think if you're in any sort of leadership role, all of her content is just brilliant. It's so good. She wrestles through tension so well. And as I've been exploring these guideposts with you guys, I've really enjoyed hearing your feedback and hearing how these things are really resonating with you. And I just respect a researcher, an author who can really hit on a nerve in us culturally and really speak to, the collective experience. So today I'm going to be exploring guidepost number 7, which is cultivating play and rest and letting go of exhaustion as a status symbol and productivity as self-worth. And when I think of the moments that I've been absolutely exhausted in life, I think of probably two categories. Either I've been in a show or been a part of working on a project that feels really, whether it's like a work project or being in a play or something like that, and coming to the end of that time or seeing the project through, like there is like happy exhaustion of like satisfied. That felt really like we really had to push for that, and now I'm just exhausted and I kind of need to rot, as the kids are calling it these days, where you just sit and veg out in front of the TV. But then there's the exhaustion that is like almost spiritual and deep in your soul, where you're so weary from life. And I think I remember feeling this. I've had it come into my life at different seasons of my life. And I've talked a lot about on this podcast emotional rest, because sometimes I felt like I'm not necessarily busy, but I am so exhausted. And sometimes what I realized, like a lot of the exhaustion was actually connected to my worthiness and connected to how I took on people's energy and having, just dysfunctional dynamics in my life where I would just feel so burdened and I didn't understand what healthy empathy looked like. So I really did absorb a lot of people's pain, but not in like an empathetic way, but in more of a toxic empathetic way where I just took it on. And I didn't realize that there could be a way of being empathetic to people without ruminating and thinking about it and just being consumed by other people's issues. I definitely think of like two different times, but I also think about in my early career, I worked in real estate and I actually really loved real estate. I love marketing. I love sales. I loved you know, the process and meeting with exciting people and selling beautiful property. Like, I loved that experience. Like, I actually enjoyed the job, but it was exhausting because if you're in real estate, it's like a lifestyle. Like, it's, you're on 24/7 and you can't ever kind of separate. Like, I didn't know how to separate like a work identity from my identity. And I remember, like, and I've put this out in blog posts before, like, I'd be working 6 days and I literally would like come home like at 9 o'clock at night, because probably had open for inspections, showing people homes after work, or their work, but you're still working. And I literally would drink like at least a half a bottle of wine and just put in like microwave popcorn and literally put on a TV show and then go to bed late because you kind of want time to yourself. And then I'd wake up really early and it would all happen again. And I'm like, this is just not a sustainable lifestyle. But I think back then, a lot of the exhaustion, if I was to reflect back on it, was the people pleasing, not having boundaries, not even having a strong sense of self. And I didn't really, like, I'd hear people in our, because we would, our work culture was really big on self-development. So we'd have these motivational people come and speak, and they would talk about your values. And I'm thinking, I'm 23. I don't even know what my values are. And I just felt very disconnected, distracted. But then I had this like fiery ambition of like, I really want to do well in my job and I love my job. And I'm like, you know, want to be, you know, a rising star, a young whippersnapper. Like, I had that kind of passion and tenacity. But then because I didn't have self-awareness, I didn't know how to not go into exhaustion. And I was talking with a few people. Actually, I was in a leading a group coaching experience, and the few people on the call I knew really resonated this with this. Like, it's kind of like, we wish that you go through burnout and you learn from that burnout experience, like what not to do so you don't go into burnout again. But if I look back, I probably went into different seasons of burnout, like a number of times. It's like I didn't learn the lesson the first time. So I think I would have seasons of like, oh, I really need to recover from burnout. But then I would go like gung-ho into the next thing and have that level of intensity and not really know how to take care of myself or like have my values in proper order. So when I think of exhaustion, I think some of it was the hustle to prove myself. So, and that's why I say, like, I think it's connected to like a worthiness thing, that I didn't really believe that I was valuable or worthy if I wasn't productive, if I wasn't doing a million things. And I think something that I have, which can be a blessing and a curse, is sometimes I'm always thinking about projects or other ideas I want to start, or like I'm always thinking about the new thing I want to try. And so I think sometimes I can kind of put myself in a position where if I was to rest, I would feel like I'm lazy, I'm not meeting expectations I have on myself. And so rest kind of felt like a bit of a threat, because if I rested, that meant that I wouldn't be significant and I wouldn't, you know, make my mark in the world. Or I don't know, like, I think it's something I'm still exploring, of like the fear of being mediocre, like just average about something. And I realized, like, when you can recognize like, oh, I think I have a fear of being mediocre or not, or being just average, like it's really helpful to kind of sit with that fear and like look into that, because I think that it's actually not healthy to be driven by that. But also I'm not judging it. I'm not like judging like, oh, you shouldn't have that need or that desire, because I think we're all born for significance. Like, we're born to have an impact in the world. And so I think that like learning how to kind of work through those fears and recognize like actually you're worthy even if you do make a mark in the world or not. And I'm going to go more into this when I talk about cultivating meaningful work in another episode. It's another guidepost. But yeah, so I think when you have like a deep desire to make an impact or, reach a certain status or like, you know, like reach something, like play and rest can feel like a threat, like, you know, and play doesn't necessarily lead to something like tangible or productive, you know? And so I think even why creativity can also feel like a threat, because it's like, why would I put my time into that when it doesn't reap certain results or certain things? But what I've learned that when we do something purely for play, we actually enter into a flow state where we're fully present and we feel grateful. And so when we actually start to cultivate play and rest into our life, we actually open up margin and creative thought. Because I work with a lot of leaders, there's a lot of problem solving and decision making that has to be made. And I really do believe the best decisions that we can make is when we're in that flow state, when we're regulated, when we're creative, when we have a little bit more bandwidth. And we've talked a lot on the podcast about having, understanding our window of tolerance. And so I think it's also helpful to even view life as seasons, like where can I cultivate play and rest? And I have a lot of compassion for teachers or people in the university system. And I obviously, my old job was in a university. So from fall in September or end of August, well, really August till May, it was like hustle. Like the school kind of took off, like, and it was like, you don't really, even though you have like fall break and spring break and you have breaks in there, but usually we were working in that time. And so you don't really have margin for spaciousness. And then I would have like most of the summer where I could work remotely or be somewhere else, but I would find the summer like almost like too much break. So it's kind of nice, like having a different rhythm in my current life schedule, because I think that level of extreme, like going hard in the end of August until May, like it was just a lot. And even the time that you do have off, a lot of my role was like dealing with problems. So like dealing with grievances or issues. And so you're thinking about that on your weekend, or you may get an emergency, like if being a leader in something, you hear emergencies over the weekend, and then, you know, you have to be solving that before you go to work on Monday. And so I think that I have a lot of compassion for especially teachers, like not just university teachers, but teachers who they're like, I'm back in Australia now, so the end of year is now instead of May of what I'm used to in the US and European school system. But I'm looking at my friends who are teachers at the end of the year. I'm like, there's no way that you can actually realistically cultivate more play and rest when it's just the reality of the system that you're in. And so I understand and have compassion for why some of these guideposts are so hard to cultivate, especially when you work for a job that like there is no wiggle room around cultivating these things. But I think for if you can kind of like, because you can listen to this podcast and feel like, gee, that I don't even have time to cultivate those things. But I think as we come to the end of the year and we're stepping into a new year, you can think of little ways that you can start to cultivate play and rest into your world. And what I notice is sometimes I create my own suffering. So if I have a belief system that it's all on my shoulders to make things happen and I've always got to be responsible, then that is actually a belief system that's holding you from actually being able to see where you could cultivate some play and rest in your life. So I've definitely had clients that when I say play or fun, it's like a trigger word for them, because they grew up in homes where they had to work since they were really little, there was no room for play and fun and rest as kids. And I think that that is why as adults we do find it really hard to cultivate play and rest. It's because we've never learned how to do it. And so play and rest feels like a threat. Like I would literally say, what do you do for fun to different clients? And they would literally have a physical reaction of like, almost like, oh, I'm a failure at fun. Like it's this high stakes thing. But that's when we bring a lot of compassion in to our inner child in that moment, is that when you were little, you probably never actually could just fully rest because you had to be on edge. Maybe you had, you know, a very angry parent, so you always felt on edge and you never felt like you could just fully relax and play and kind of like have that childlike experience. And so I think that like play and rest isn't something that is just reserved for our childhood. Like we can actually cultivate that in our life right now. And I think that it's going to be what play and rest looks like for you is going to be different to what it looks like for me. I think the other thing is like when I hear a lot of people, because they're so burnt out, they go into rest where they for years actually are in freeze and they don't actually do anything. And I think that rest isn't necessarily just you know, like doing absolutely nothing. Like there's lots of things that cultivate, whether it's emotional rest, physical rest. Yeah, there's lots of different things that are going to be restful, and it's probably going to be unique to you. It's going to be unique to you. But I also had, and maybe I've shared this on the podcast, but I've had, you know, a family member that, because our family's pretty good at like chilling out, like we'll watch a movie together, we're pretty good at having a relaxed, unstructured day if we're all on holiday together. But we're also structured as well. It's not like just like no plans. But I know like when this family member was around us, they're like, yeah, I just find it really hard to sit still and just chill. Because every time I got relaxed as a kid, something bad would happen. And so even like there can be such a block with trauma of like, yeah, when things were quiet and restful, and we even see it in movies and TV shows that we watch, it's like everything is calm and then the murderer comes. And so I think that there is something to what I had Rachel Hughes talk about, is really learning how to have 1 to 5% more rest in our life, or 1 to 5% more play in our life, and just learning to pay attention to that, because it's going to be so unique to you. Learning how to deeply rest has been kind of an art form that I've had to trial and error, and I've had to have a lot of self-awareness around it. So for me, I struggled to rest because I sometimes would be avoiding things. So avoiding things in my life. And when you're avoiding, you're not going to actually feel at rest. And so part of having really wholesome, good kind of rest is like learning how to be brave and confront the things that you're avoiding. And then the other thing was like, usually even just like retraining myself that I'm worthy of rest, because I think for a long time I would sit down to rest and I would have constant guilt in the back of my mind. And some of that guilt was actually communicating something like, oh, I actually need to confront this thing and need to do these tasks before I sit down and rest. But then some of you are living in constant, it's like this tension of like some of you need to actually learn to be okay with unfinished work and just sit and enjoy being okay in that middle space. And then others of you actually need to like confront some things and look at the things that you're avoiding, because you might be like avoiding so much in your life. So that's why you can't fully rest. You're just kind of numbing. You're not showing up to your life. But the best kind of rest is when you have been intentional about setting up your weeks to cultivate rest, and then recognizing like, oh, because I've had avoidance tendencies, so I will write a list of the things that I'm avoiding, or just even the intuitive clues that I know I'm supposed to follow through on, like reaching out to a person, or that's been on my mind a lot, so I need to address that. Like when I take care of those things, and then when I go sit and rest, or go for a walk, or go do something restful, or meet up with a friend, like I'm not having that thing in the back of my mind kind of taking me out of the present. And I think that, like, I always think of like driving a car, for instance, like if their check engine has light has come on, that's telling you something. Like you need to take care of your engine. And I think that a lot of us are driving around with our check engine light on rather than actually, you know, getting it in for regular services, making sure the oil's changed, and doing all of those things to take care of our vehicles, which is our bodies. And so when we start to kind of build that as a practice, we're not going to have constant living on fumes, like living on, you know, with that check engine light on. So I think some things to think about, like if you are wanting to cultivate more play and rest in your life, is I think this sounds very basic, but we do need times of reflection and even meeting with a counselor or a therapist or a coach to be able to kind of unpack like your life and why you're in a position where you can't find any margin or any rest. And even like exploring different ways where your productivity is really directly linked to your self-worth. And I'm going to be honest, like it's a good thing. I think because I've done this work for so long, I don't have that strong attachment to my work is my identity like it used to. So sometimes like even getting on this podcast to try and think of an example, I'm like, I can't really think of an example of how in recent times where I feel like my productivity is so connected to my self-worth. And I do think like different personalities really are tethered to it. So especially if you're like a 3 on the Enneagram, it's really hard to move your identity away from how much you're achieving and how productive you are. But I know that sometimes because productivity does give us a good feeling, a dopamine hit, it's definitely, it can actually really inform our identity. So we only feel good about ourselves by getting through all of our to-do list. But I think that like something is like we actually need someone outside of us to kind of help us see where we're actually, overextending ourselves and help us kind of process through the fears of like, if I put that down, then this ball will drop. And how do I, how do I deal with the repercussions of that? Like, it's not just like a quick, simple fix of like, you need to rest more in life. It's like, actually you need a strategy around it that feels supportive and helpful. Because I think even if you have gone through really big burnout and you're feeling, like even if you've gone through a really painful season relationally, just gone through maybe you're having like a rock bottom or going through something really difficult. Like we need someone to kind of help us through us because the most common thing that I get is like, oh, I won't want to do anything. Like I'll just turn into a lazy blob that does nothing. But I think if we have like any good parenting, if we have really good boundaries around like what a recovery period looks like, how can you set yourself up and have vision for recovery? I know even for me, like I have a very big like let's change the world mindset, And so for me, when I was like going through burnout and healing in, you know, 2022, I've talked about it a lot on the podcast, like I needed a good month where I just didn't think about changing the world or doing something good in the world. Like I realized like that was becoming an idol, like this thing that I had to do. And so if I wasn't doing that, then I'm guilty and behind. And I just needed to like give myself a break from thinking like that because it wasn't serving my highest good and serving people around me. Like it wasn't actually a really good thing. And so I would definitely encourage you to kind of like build a rhythm, build a strategy where you start to explore what play and rest feels like for you. Explore what it feels like in your body. Like what does rest feel like? Where do you feel, do you have a time in your life where you did feel really rested and refreshed and clear-eyed? Or do you have a moment where that felt so playful and so fun? And I felt really childlike and it just left me buzzing. Do you have any moments like that? Because I think if you can reflect on your life and like remember moments where you were in that state of play and you were in that state of like really feeling rested, then you could, your body can recognize it and you can look for more opportunities around it. Anyway, thanks for listening today, everyone. I've loved kind of interacting with you guys over social media on the topic. It's definitely something that has been such a guiding light in my life of really feeling connected to a deeper sense of worthiness and value outside of what I do for people and who I am to other people. It's helped me ground back into my center. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Feel free to sign up for my little guideposts, my email list, and you can always book in for coaching and if you need it. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening today. Please download, share with your friends, and write a review. If you would like to book in a life coaching session with me, go to my website at www.ella-hooper.com or follow me on Instagram at Next Brave Thing Podcast.